content.
Love Line may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Love Line starts now.
Hey, everybody. Dr. Drew here. Joining me tonight, Fred Durst. Once again, Fred, thanks for joining us.
No worries.
And I just, you know, of course, Fred from Limp Bizkit. He also is heading up Flawless Entertainment, where he's signed such groups as Puddle of Mudge, She Wants Revenge, and Ringside. And also fulfilling his life dream as a cinema director. Right
this
now, as we speak.
As we speak.
And a fan of Wife Swap, I just found out, as we're going into the segment.
I'm addicted to Wife Swap.
Come on, Anderson. No, no, this is your chance to put She's Not Christian in there. Yes?
Drew, that's the wrong show.
What? Wasn't that Wife Swap?
No, that was a good one. It was Trading Spouses.
Oh. I haven't seen Trading Spouses.
Okay, yet. Well, you can still, it's the same idea, though. Yeah. Same idea. You can put She's Not Christian on
for
you.
She's not a Christian!
You heard that one? Imagine that's the wife you get. Good
she
times.
She's dork satin, too!
Oh, my God. Give you chills.
I'm a God's warrior!
What's been happening lately on Wife Swap?
Well, tonight, right before I came here, they were doing a recap of all the families that have swapped wives and mothers and how it's made their relationships better.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So oh, there's been a big arc in characters, I guess. You know, it's pretty interesting to me. You know, it really makes you grateful for what you got going on in your own life. And it's really interesting to watch people, I guess.
It is, isn't yeah. it? Well, it makes people look at themselves a little differently, which is always good.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. It's a little bit traumatic what they put the kids through and everything.
It is. I just couldn't imagine putting my son in that situation, yeah. you know, for a couple weeks. And
right.
Just,
wouldn't that be weird?
It would be weird. You just, you know, now that I have a young little boy, it's just, I'm very sensitive to what he's exposed to.
And they cast people that are so profoundly different that
oh
you're
God.
Sort of on the pathology scale yeah. on each end of this.
It's ridiculous.
Spectrum. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And
yeah.
Off they go. But anyways, I like that show, too. And so there you go. So Fred Durst, fan of Wife Swap. Who would think? I only get to see that show on The Soup, generally. You know, they have little excerts
oh, yeah.
of the, yeah. Joel McHale.
I'm a TiVo guy.
Are you?
So I just TiVo.
You just watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take some calls, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go. This is Shelley. What's up, Shelley?
Hi.
Hey there. You're on
How
with
are
Fred
you?
Durst. We're good.
Good.
How you doing?
I'm great. I just had a question. Well, a couple questions. you want me to talk now?
Yes, we do.
Oh, good.
Why is that so confusing for people?
Well, because
maybe
you
don't know if they're
here. Let me make an announcement at the beginning of the show. When you hear me or Fred speak to you on the telephone, it's because you're on the air. There you go. And here we go.
Perfect. I have a question about, there was a party I had, and I had a friend, and her and I got it on. And we didn't go
dork satin too.
And anyhow, it all got stopped and everything, but it did go very far. And now I wonder if I'm lesbian or bisexual or whatever. Because
hold on, it didn't go very far.
Well, how far do you how do you
tell
want
us how
tell
far
you
it how went, and we'll tell you if it went far.
We kissed and played with each other's upper half.
Okay.
And then it was over, and then she had to go home. Got scared. I don't know what the heck. We're both straight. We're both married.
Oof.
Yeah. So anyhow.
Do you think about it? Are you looking forward to it happening again?
Absolutely.
Yeesh.
But I'm still attracted to my husband.
Mm.
But it's not the same feeling I get thinking about another woman.
Well, there's a couple paths we probably should go down here. One is, do you have how long have you been married?
7 years.
And do you have a history of chaos in your relationships?
Absolutely.
And so this has been going on 7 years now. It's time to inject a little chaos into this. Have you cheated before?
Oh, no, not no.
But you have a history of chaos.
Just off and on relationship, like that kind of chaos.
Okay. And your family of origin, was it pretty chaotic?
My family what?
Of origin,
yes.
Your family you grew up with, the pretty chaotic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this is an expression of that. I mean, that's what she needs. She's such, again, attracted to that which was unpleasant and terrorizing in childhood. That becomes overwhelmingly compelling when you're an adult. amazing. I even saw this on a Family Guy episode where Brian has a near-death experience, so he goes out and drinks and lives his life up because he nearly died, and he ends up nearly dying again. It's amazing. Even the most, what seems like the most logical reason for reenacting things that were terrorizing are really just reenacting things that were terrorizing.
Yeah.
All right, Shelley, the other thing, and this is really the sort of important piece of this. Do you have kids?
Do I have kids?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So you've now relinquished any right, Fred, don't you think, to experiment and to create chaos?
I absolutely.
You don't have that right anymore.
No, right? I don't.
I think so. Just be a little bit too detrimental to what the kids are kind of used to and conditioned to.
Right. You're going to continue that cycle of chaos and abuse that you lived through. And I'm here to try to prevent that from happening. Okay, Shelley? So you, although you're very attracted to this woman and you'd love to fool around with her, and great, that'd be great if you were a single woman or even in a relationship that you were ready to sabotage. But you've relinquished that right now by having kids. So stop, Mom. Stop. That's it. It's not okay for Mom to F around right now. And if you can't contain yourself, get a mental health professional to help you. Okay?
Okay.
Before you screw up your kids.
No, true. My kids wouldn't have any... I don't know. I was just one night.
Shelley, you'll screw up your relationship with your husband, and that will screw up your kids.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Understood.
Okay?
Understood.
Stop. All right. There we go. Fred Durst agrees, yes?
Hallelujah.
Steve, what's up, Steve?
Hey, I just want to say hi to Fred Durst and you, Drew. Big fan. Still yet to see you in concert. I've been in the military, so... just wondering if you had any dates of when you might be starting touring again or any albums coming out again?
Right now I'm getting ready to start directing my first motion picture. So Limp Bizkit right now is on hold, and I work on music all the time on my own. And Wes, the guitar player, he's got a solo album coming out, and everybody's kind of doing their thing. So we don't actually know when we're going to be doing anything. So I don't know if we'll be touring anytime
soon. Give the guy a break, Steve. This is his lifelong dream of wanting to be a cinema director. How old were you when you first got that in your head? Like a teenager?
Maybe 10, 11.
Yeah, 9, 10 is when it starts happening. Then 11, it really clicks in.
I completely understand. I was doing wiring in the military, and I was trying to get him the same thing. I figured if he might need any help, I want to know who to contact, too.
Oh, I got you.
Boy. Film directing?
Because I'm working at a gas station now. I have 4 years' experience, and still here at the gas station now.
Are you at the gas station now?
Yeah, I'm working nights.
Right on.
And I don't have a resume or nothing, but I'm trying to get one up, and I tried calling your company, and I didn't get through to anybody. I don't know who to contact or...
Can people submit things to your company?
Yeah, you can call up Flawless Records anytime you want. It's right here in Los Angeles.
Do you know any names I should send it to, or?
Yeah, just put it attention Lobo Hong.
Lobo Hong. And when you hear it's from Steve from New Hampshire, you'll immediately remember the guy at the gas station in New Hampshire. By the way, a little bit cold this time of year up there. Laura, what's up? You're on with Fred Durst.
Big fan. Very nice to speak with you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I have a question. I heard a couple weeks ago on the show that if you have a genital piercing, that it will eventually cause desensitization?
It can. That's a common complication. They will not inevitably do that, but it can do that.
Okay. And because I've had mine for about 2.5 years, and I have noticed that there's less sensitivity mm-hmm. than there used to be before the piercing.
There you go. And?
So? That's probably... Now, does it come back? Because the piercer had told me to switch out the rings, different types of rings, like go from a hoop to a curved barbell, etc., and that would keep it.
What's pierced? Is your hood pierced?
Yes.
I don't know that anything other than pulling it out will do anything, and in fact, pulling it out, it still may not come back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. Now your best chances are to let nature take its course and restore the anatomy that God intended. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, don't pierce your pee-pees.
Words to live by. Fred Durst, don't pierce your pee-pees. I couldn't agree more. This is Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Fellas, how's it going?
Good. What's happening?
I am just finding out some kind of stressful news. I was just listening to one of your old shows. I'm finding out that I was sexually abused as a little boy. Uh-huh. My whole life I've thought that, like, when little kids just play around as like boys will be boys, but apparently that's not the case. Correct? No,
there is sort of experimentation and looking and that kind of thing. But when it's directed sexual behavior, that is sexual abuse. And it can be perpetrated by children on children if the child, and the way that happens is one of the children usually is sexually abused by an adult, then they go out and act out on other children.
Okay, well, that's going to create a whole other set of questions. But it was just me and my little cousin when we were like 4 and 5 years old, and it only happened like till I was for 2 years, from 4 to 6, right?
Again, if you're stimulating each other sexually and putting uh-huh. things in mouths and things, uh-huh. that's a problem.
Okay, well, with that in mind, okay, I'm 28 now, mm-hmm. and I'm a homosexual. I've mm-hmm. come out as a homosexual in the last 2 years. My whole life, I never really thought much of that, as quote unquote sexual abuse as mm-hmm. the cause of me being a homosexual now.
Hey, does that make there, sense? Fancy pants.
And?
Okay, and I'm pretty accepting of who I am now. However, my question is counseling. If I were to go into counseling, could that kind of go back and take back those steps or whatever, and possibly live a fulfilling heterosexual life?
No, I know of no evidence, no good evidence, that you can change sexual orientation regardless of the way you got where you are as an adult. In other words, if you were born that way or if you were sexually abused, that is a very deep wiring that seems to be in someone, and that's just in you. That's you now. And that's okay. Great that you're comfortable with that. You're clear about it, and that's your sexual orientation. But it gets there how it gets there, and once it's there, that's pretty much wired in.
So it's pretty much a done deal. I dated girls up until age 26, and I tried my damnedest, you know, to be wholeheartedly in love, but there was obviously just something missing, you know?
Yeah, it's really, maybe somebody somewhere is doing something with this, but I don't think it's anything that is really thought of as medically a standard of care of any type. So it really is more about learning to manage the sexual orientation and to, really don't try to change it. How the wiring got, it really is the whole issue of how attractions and tastes and certain kinds of things appeal. You know, where does that all come from in us, and how can you change it? You know, guys, think of what appeals to you if you're heterosexual. If certain kinds of things appeal to you, how are you going to change that?
Yeah.
That's not going to change. And the same thing if it's about your sexual orientation, that's a very deep, intense biology that it's not going to change.
Okay. Well, since you said that, can I ask you one more question?
Yeah.
About my cousin. I haven't seen him, for probably a decade or so, but do I need to chit-chat with him and see if something happened to him when he was a kid, or do I just leave him alone? And
I would leave it be. I would leave it be. If you feel comfortable doing it, you run into him, you want to, but what are you going to do with that?
I don't think he's had a couple of failed marriages and stuff like that, so I don't think that he's super happy in his life, but just leave it alone?
You're going to find out he may be one of these guys who identifies himself as a male who has sex with males, but has difficulty coming out as gay. You know what I'm saying? There's that whole category of men who have sex with men now.
That must be really heavy.
Yeah, that's a heavy group to deal with. Yeah,
so, especially since I haven't talked to him for years. Okay.
Yeah, no, don't get into it. It's unfortunate that he can't be more clear about what his orientation is and can't stop bringing other people into this chaos, but something did happen to him, I guarantee you. Okay,
so there's no sense in going into counseling, trying to switch my sexuality around or anything?
Not that I'm aware of. People may claim that they do things like that, but it's certainly not considered a medical standard of care by any means. And it's just like trying to change any other sort of preference or attraction. There's really, we don't know of any way to do that at this point, nor any reason to. Okay?
Great. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's an interesting part of this. In fact, we were talking earlier about how experiences of terror and discomfort and unpleasantness become attractive. We have to, you know, do those things. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can change that either, but you can learn. In other words, if you're an abusive alcoholic dad and you're a female, you're going to be attracted to abusive alcoholic males or non-available, you know, guys who don't seem that way. You're going to try to avoid that, but magically the guy you're attracted to will always turn out to be that guy. So we don't know of any way to change that attraction. We can't. But you can learn not to respond to those attractions so much and maybe go for a guy that you're not quite so incredibly attracted to, because you know you're the kind of person that's attracted to a certain kind of guy that ends up in a bad place for you. So how about going with for the guy that's not quite so exciting, not quite so compelling for you? It's kind of unfortunate, right? You can't indulge those sort of passionate yeah. impulses, but you know where they're going. You can so you can live a life of passion and misery or a life of pleasant happiness without some of that gratification. Let's put it that way. Less gratifying, perhaps. Ernesto.
Yeah.
What's up there, buddy? You're on with Fred Durst.
Oh, hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
I'm come from a Mexican Catholic family, and, you know, they really don't believe in circumcisions, and I'm not circumcised. And I was actually wondering if I should get circumcised.
What's happening?
Well, I mean, you know, nothing really, but I talked to my boss, and he said that as he got older, because he wasn't circumcised either, he said as he would have sex with his wife, sometimes he would start bleeding down there.
Yeah, they tear, but you're not doing that, so.
Well, actually, it happened before, but I when it happened, I didn't think anything of it. I thought that my girlfriend was just being, like, too rough on me or something.
Well, the issue is, the problem is that after it tears, then it can scar down, and that makes it more difficult for the head to come out, and it'll tear some more. So you can get it circumcised at that point if you want to. It's no big deal. It's up to you. May reduce the risk of HPV, may reduce the risk of certain sexually transmitted diseases, but not hugely. All right, let's go.
Very interesting.
Interesting. You like that whole circumcision story? Rachel.
Yeah.
19. What's up?
Not much. Not really. Just a couple months ago, I met this new guy. Really, really into him. We started having sex recently, and he's my first partner since I've had my daughter.
Ooh. She's 18. How old were you when you had the daughter?
I was 18. She's 18 months old right now, and the night she was conceived was the last time I've had sex.
Okay.
So it's been a while. And he's really great and everything, but I'm a real prude. Like, the way that I was raised is, you know, always must be modest, always must be covered and everything. And so that kind of turned me into a little bit of a prude. You know, whenever we're done having sex, I have to cover up immediately and can't have sex if anyone else is in the house or anything like that, you know. And he is totally not that way. He's just like...
You're fat.
What?
Are you concerned about your body?
Oh, hell no. I have a good body.
Okay. See, Anderson, you're wrong.
Why are you so fat?
No, I'm not fat. Thank you very much. I'm like 118 pounds, 5'5". I have a pretty good body. You know, I worked hard for it, but it looks good. I'm just like a prude. I always have to be covered up and everything.
All right. What's the question?
I just want to know, how can I loosen up?
What do you think, Fred?
Well, I think, you know, personally, if that's the way you feel, I would just, you know, whatever's most comfortable to you. And if you,
so shouldn't have to loosen up.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to loosen up if you don't really feel like it, you know.
Maybe. Why do you feel compelled to?
Just, like, he doesn't push me to. He even, like, now he'll cover me up himself. Because he knows that's how
nice.
I feel most comfortable. Yeah, he's really sweet. He's so sweet.
Do you want to loosen up?
I do. I want to loosen up because I know he likes it.
Well, you just got to do it if you really want to.
I just
got to
be a big, brave girl and do it.
I mean, if you really want to, you just said you wanted to. So, I mean, all you can do is, you know, try it gradually if it's a baby step process, and that's what you got to do.
I'm just, I don't know. Okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And congratulations on your whole movie directing thing.
Oh, wow. That's very sweet.
I didn't know that, you know, that was a dream of yours ever or anything.
I love that story. I really am enamored with that story.
I don't really know much about you or anything.
Yeah, not a lot of people do, so that's the...
Congrats.
He grew up on a farm.
On
he
a life.
To be a director. He became a tattoo artist because somebody liked his drawings, and he ended up tattooing in the back of the guy's trailer. And people started paying him with musicians' equipment. So he decided to get a band because that would get him closer to the movie directing career.
You remember that.
Probably in some
like
part of your brain,
your
right?
You're going to get to your thumb, though, isn't it?
Hey, you know what? I'm just really I'm really impressed that Dr. Drew remembered
that story. You're a great story.
I think you're in love with Fred Durst.
I am. Like, I'm in love with him. If I were gay, I swear to God. or chick.
That's how we end the show.
Then the reality show starts.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, I think that's I don't know why that story is so inspiring to me, because I think it's a story of survival. It's a great story of I really think creativity is a solution to many things in life, and you found creative solutions every step of the way, and yet somehow, because there was a drive to do this one thing, after all those crazy creative solutions, you end up back right where you wanted to be.
It's pretty unbelievable. It's not even a plan.
And it couldn't have happened any other way. If you really think about it, there's just no way.
It's impossible.
Impossible any other way for you.
Yeah. You know what, guys? Dr. Drew actually really does listen to you when you call, because that was a story I told him yesterday very quickly.
I told you, I really like that story. Jennifer, what's up?
Hi. Fairly big fan. I just wanted to say that also. Fred Durst, I love your music. It's awesome. But, okay, so my question is, I'm 21 years old, and I live in Redwood City. It's a pretty little town. And my question is, I've been dating this guy for quite a while now. Like, we've been together for, like, maybe 2 years. And I love him so much, but I started working at this new place for about 6 months now. And, like, whenever me and him have sex, like, it's good, but I'm not as turned on as I used to be. So I imagine my new boss, and who is she's a lesbian, but she's kind of like, she's not really butch, but she's kind of like, she's not feminine at all. And she has a girlfriend that comes in with her sometimes. And, like, when I have sex with my boyfriend, I imagine her, and it gets me, like, completely turned on. I mean, I'm not a lesbian or anything. I've never done.
No, of course not. What in the world would make us think that? How dare we?
I've never done anything with another female, but I think I am curious, and I don't know. Should I tell her? Should I tell him? I feel really bad, you know. Like,
why?
He's such a great guy, and I don't want to leave him. It's just, I don't know. Like, I'm really, like, sexually attracted to my boss.
Do you have trouble with closeness? Is it dangerous or to be vulnerable and close to another person?
No, I don't think so.
So you don't have a situation where your dad left your family and haven't seen him since you were a little kid or anything?
No, my dad's been around. My dad's the kind of guy who like watches TV and like, yeah, that's all he does. He goes to work.
Yeah, he's around. Okay. What kind of place do you work in?
What company?
What kind of place?
Oh, I work at Starbucks.
Starbucks.
The one in Redwood City?
Yeah, one in Redwood City.
With the hot worker boss lady?
Oh, she's hot to me.
I like the call screeners applauding behind you there, Anderson. That's my favorite moment of the evening so far.
I've never told anyone this. I'm so nervous.
But I don't see this as a lesbian thing. I see this as a way that you sort of need arousal in order to feel sexual, and that you have trouble feeling sexual in an intimate moment for some reason.
Yeah, and maybe, like, we'll have sex and everything will be fine, and then all of a sudden I'll be dry. Completely.
Yeah, either.
Like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. You just, keep going.
You know what?
I don't know.
I'm suspicious you're just not into this guy. That's my suspicion. I mean, I'm sure he's okay, good enough for now kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like the kind of guy that really floats your boat. And that, this sort of provocative, crazy thing you have for this girl, sort of, ooh, that's that. Now that gets my attention. But it's just sort of a way of creating arousal in a relationship where there isn't a lot of that.
I was just thinking, I was like, well, am I bi? Because if I think about if with myself, with another girl, like, being in a relationship, that's like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, if
but
you
if
wanted
I think
to have
about
sex...
Doing
look,
something
you,
sexually, I'm just like, oh, yes.
Listen, if you wanted to have sex with women, we'd say you were bi. But you don't. You want to think about women, and you want to think about highly evocative circumstances in a relationship that doesn't float your boat. I predict that if you were with a guy that you were really into, that would supersede any of these other fantasies. All of a sudden, these little sort of things you need to evoke sexuality will sort of melt away magically. You agree?
Yeah, maybe just think about the reasons why you're hanging on to this guy, and if it's not worth an affair to him, if you, after evaluating it, maybe just, move on if that's the case, because I'm not sure in those circumstances from my own experience if that gets any better.
I absolutely agree. Fred Durst in the studio with us tonight. Of course, you all know him from Limp Bizkit. We're going to hear a Limp Bizkit song, hopefully in the next break. He's into Wife Swap. He's also head of Flawless record label and film production company. He's now coming up with two films. One is going into production and also a television show called The Analyst. He's signed bands such as Puddle of Mudge, She Wants Revenge. I've been all thick-tongued for like a week. It's really weird when you're, I don't know what that is, and Ringside. Anyway, Limp Bizkit, over 30 million albums sold. That's a number that, no, I haven't been drinking, Anderson. No, I haven't. I haven't. If I had been, I'd actually feel better about this because then it would make sense why my tongue is thick. All right, we're going to take a little break. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Loveline. Be right back in a minute.
Fred Durst, everybody. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call. We're going to go right back to the calls and talk to Dustin. We're going to hear a song from Limp Bizkit some point in this segment. What's Yikes. Up, Dustin? Yikes. Yeah. We're going to hear... Hey, Dustin, hold on here. I got to check my notes. Rearrange. We're going to hear in a couple minutes. What's up, buddy?
Well, I just started seeing a guy about a week ago, and everything is going really, really well, and I like him a lot. And last night he sat me down and said we had to talk about something serious.
And he told me. Yay.
Thanks, Anderson. Anyway.
And he told me that he had contracted herpes about a year ago.
Uh huh.
And I just want to continue. I really want to continue a relationship, but I know very little about it, and I just want to know if it's possible to continue a relationship and for myself to stay healthy and how realistic that is.
He has herpes on his genitalia?
Yeah.
How long ago did he get it? Do you know?
Last March.
So he's only had it about 10 months or so, a year.
Yeah, he only had the first outbreak and he's been clean ever since.
Does he take medication to suppress the outbreaks?
Yeah, they caught it really early, so he's taking...
Valtrex?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. We haven't gone that deep into it.
Well, I'll tell you that the lack of outbreak, the suppression with antiviral medication, and the use of condoms can significantly reduce the risk.
Okay.
You can't take it to zero, but it can take it very, very low. Now, what kind of sexual acts are you guys sort of anticipating?
Well, we've only done oral so far, and
all right. Now, the reason I ask that is because people don't use condoms with oral sex.
Yeah,
and he can transmit it to your mouth, and for some reason people don't get that excited about it being on the mouth. I don't know why. It's just your mouth. You're using your mouth and sex an awful lot, and that can transmit things all over the place too.
Definitely.
But so you've already sort of put yourself in the line of fire, as it were, with that, and you've been okay, right?
Yeah. Right, Is it contracted just during an outbreak, or can I get it even if he doesn't have an outbreak at that moment?
You can get it even if he doesn't have an outbreak. However, using the antiviral medication substantially reduces his infectiveness.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Good luck, Dustin. Tough decisions.
I know. It's hard. Thank you very much, though.
All right. Good luck. Bye-bye. This is Jessica. What's up, Jessica? 18.
Hello.
Hi, you're on with Fred Durst.
Sorry, I was holding my baby. Okay, so my question is, I have a 6-month-old.
Yeah.
And I never went with my 6-week checkup.
Why not?
Didn't have the gas at the time. I didn't have a job, and I didn't have the gas to get there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How are you feeding this child?
Oh, I have a job now.
Okay. Why don't you go get checked out?
I'm kind of nervous too. But my question is, I've been with one partner for the last year.
Uh-huh.
And it's not the baby's dad, but I've been with one partner for the last year.
At least give us a couple measures, Anderson, if you're going to break into that. And?
And I have an itching problem. We've both been tested and neither one of us have anything. But we had sex after I had, 2 weeks after I had my son. So,
what's your question?
I have, an itching problem, but it's not on the vagina. It's like in between, like where my skin is and where my leg is. And I don't know exactly.
Like where your leg meets your body, like in the crease?
Yeah.
So that's just basically jock itch. Why don't you go get some antiviral creams over the counter, antifungal creams over the counter, and that's it.
That's it? That's pretty much all it is?
That's probably it. You just, you know, keep things dry down there. Do you have a red patch in that crease?
I'm sorry?
Is there redness in there in the crease?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's jock itch, basically. It's tinea cruris, that's called. So go get yourself some Lamisil or some Mycotin.
The tour bus torture.
Yeah, so something the guys get on the road all the time. Jessica, you need like some basic health care, you know, some child rearing classes and to avail yourself of whatever facilities are available there in Kansas City, will you?
Definitely get that checkup.
Yeah, this is basic life 101 that you're sort of failing, and I'm worried about that child. So anyway, let's hear a little question about salvia, question about a fiancé wants to bring another partner into their little tryst. Sounds interesting. We'll get to that one in a couple minutes. But let's hear a Limp Bizkit song in the meantime.
Yikes.
Why don't you send us out to rearrange, Fred?
Okay. All right, all you Loveline listeners out there with ears plastered to the radio, Dr. Drew's going to take a pause right now. We're going to go right on to this smooth tune from Limp Bizkit. Take it on back.
Just think about it. Just think about it. Lately I've been skeptical, silent when I would use to speak, distant from all around me, to witness me fail and become weak. Life is overwhelming, heavy is the head that wears the crown. I'd love to be the one to disappoint you when I don't fall down. But you don't understand when I'm attempting to explain. All the bull that I find. Life is overwhelming. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. I'd love to be the one to disappoint you when I don't fall down. But you don't understand when I'm attempting to explain. Because you know it all, and I guess things will never change. But you might need my hand when I'm falling in your hole. Your disposition, I'll remember when I'm letting go.
Everybody.
Limp Bizkit, Rearranged. Fred Durst in here with us tonight, going from Limp Bizkit to filmmaking. And I'm going to make him an amateur psychiatrist yet. I'm having him read.
Actually, I'm going to be your patient.
You're going to be a patient? You want to be a patient? All right, we can do that too. But it's more fun to have you as a sidekick, as a partner.
Yeah, and all right. Stuff. I like that, Batman and Robin.
All right. This now is Annie. What's up, Annie? You're on with Fred Durst.
Oh, that's awesome. Hi, Fred.
How you doing?
I love Limp Bizkit, so it's really good to hear you.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's
really
that's
good
awesome.
To hear you.
But okay, my question is, I'm 22 years old and I'm getting married, which is really exciting for me. But my birthday is in 3 weeks, and
can you stop for 1 second?
Yeah.
Why did you give us a little sidebar about it being exciting for you? I think it'd be exciting for anybody. No?
It would be. It's actually because I've been engaged before, and it's always fallen through.
It's surprising to you that you're going to get married?
It's surprising that it's actually happening.
Why did it fall through before?
Actually, I don't know. The guy I was engaged to probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago, he just up and left. He never gave me a reason. He just said, I can't do it anymore, and left.
Nothing was happening in your relationship. He just picked up one day and was out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was perfectly fine. My family loved him. Our relationship was great. We had great conversations and everything. Sex life was great. And
that was your only engagement, yes?
Yeah. And then he said, I can't do it anymore, and left.
Okay. And how's this one going?
Absolutely fabulous.
All right. So you're going to get married.
Really excited. Yeah, my birthday's in 3 weeks, and we're going to have a huge party and whatnot, but my question is, I'm bi, and my fiance
Wait. How could the relationship be perfect if you were bi? Because when you're bi, I mean, you have to declare a major. You have to be heterosexual. You can't have women if you're in a monogamous, committed relationship with somebody whom you're going to marry.
Not if your fiance is okay with it.
I see. Was your other fiance not okay with it?
We just dropped it. After he found out, we just kind of dropped it. So I don't think he was okay with it.
Okay, so there's something not so wonderful about that last relationship.
Not really.
All right. So that relationship sucked, and it fell apart finally because of conflict around you being unwilling to commit to the relationship. And magically now, you're going to do the same thing to this one. Interesting. Well, now I can see why you're surprised about getting married.
So wait.
Okay. Anyways, but...
No. Not anyways. you're going to F up this relationship, too. You're not getting married. Or if you do, it's going to be hell.
Well, because he's totally okay with it.
Now, listen.
He's totally willing. It's the, I have
listen,
other girls
listen, listen. What's that, Annie?
I said he's okay with it. He's totally willing to bring other girls into bed.
Yeah, I know he's willing and okay. He doesn't understand the implication. This is going to be a disaster.
Really?
I'm telling you, I have never seen a relationship survive this. It can
What's
survive
the reason
for a while.
For getting married?
Yeah, maybe. Why are you getting married? What you're into whatever. So you're bi. You have other relationships. Fine. Don't get married. Don't have a monogamous relationship. To try to have a monogamous relationship and a non-monogamous relationship does not work.
Okay.
I hope to God you don't have kids. I hope to God you don't have kids.
No, we don't have kids. God.
Okay, good. All right. Well, at least there's that. And so why get married? No wonder you're surprised you're getting married. You shouldn't be getting married.
Okay.
Go enjoy. That's fine. You want to do all these crazy things? That's fine. But relationships aren't meant to. There's a reason that there's a whole commitment side to marriage and the monogamy and all. That's what works for people. It's not like the man's forcing you to be a certain way. It's what just works. I've never seen a relationship survive bringing other people into the mix. You can do it for a while. I've seen relationships do it for a while. Particularly sex addicts will do that for a while. But inevitably, it has a nuclear explosion and things do not work out so well.
I don't understand the reason to actually have a marriage, to give the vows at all.
Yeah, the vows for monogamy.
Sounds like you guys are having fun right now and he's down with it, so why don't you just ride it out?
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, you're going to ride it out?
No, she's going to go do whatever she wants, the hell she wants to do. Go ahead, Annie. Enjoy. just be another statistic. It's a wonderful thing. And by the way, marriages at 22, you know, you have a less than 50% probability of surviving under the best of circumstances.
Is that true?
Yeah. Under marriages in their 20s, very bad. Mm. The data is horrible. But you have the Annies of the world choosing to get married at 22. That's impossible. Impossible. Annie, I don't care what you do. You should go enjoy yourself. I wish you the best and happiest of life. I can only share with you my experience, having treated thousands of patients. I know magically where this one's going. Good luck. Enjoy. Jeff, what's up?
Hey, actually, I had a question for Fred.
There you go.
I know back when Les first left the band, you guys cut some tracks with the guitars from Korn. And because I remember one of them was Crack Addict. That was just a badass song.
Ooh,
and right. I heard you guys were going to release them, but then when the guy from Snot joined, you put it on hold. I was just wondering if you guys were ever going to release those tracks.
You know, I wrote those songs after Wes left, myself on the guitar. And so when it came to recording time, I actually am not such a great guitar player. So Head from Korn came in and played the guitar, you know, and actually would probably layer another track of guitar on top of it to kind of icing it up of his own thing. But we still have those songs in the vault, and I don't really know when I'm going to release those. I'm not exactly sure. It's one of those things that I just have no idea about and haven't thought about. So I'm sorry if you're looking forward to it. But I think a lot of them already leaked out on the internet if you want to take a look. I'm pretty sure about that.
But he is a good tattoo artist, so you can check that out too. May not play good guitar, but good tattoos. Fred Durst with us tonight. More you, more Fred after this.
Loveline, we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Fred Durst in here with us. 1-800-LOVE-191. He's been working with Puddle of Mud, She Wants Revenge, Ringside. He's brought us to all those bands, and now he's working on a motion picture called The Education of Charlie Banks, which I actually can't wait to see. And where are you going to film that?
We're going to film it in New York, probably Rhode Island and a little bit in the city.
Vassar, right? It's about a kid in Vassar, when just after Vassar had gone co-ed.
Exactly. Right, in about 1980.
Oh.
Yeah. Good time up there, from what I understand.
Yeah, I was in college in that area around that time, and I had friends that were in Vassar around that time, and they interesting stories. So, is this somebody who's written this story? Or
it was in Vassar, and they wrote it. A guy named Peter Elkoff. It's a really amazing script.
Interesting. Let's take a call here, Rudy. What's up? You're on with Fred Durst.
Hey, what's up, Fred?
What's up?
I'm nervous.
Cool. What's on?
All right, so the question is, me and my girlfriend were having sex earlier, and it's weird. Like, I mean, everything was good. She was, like, everything was good, and then all of a sudden, like we start, and she's like, "Are you in me?" I'm like, "Yeah."
And
she, I don't know, she can't feel it.
What's that, Rudy?
Yeah, she can't, she doesn't feel anything, like. It's not. She said she tried to get off by herself too, and it was.
Is that her sitting next to you? Do I hear her talking?
Yeah, that's her.
You put her on the phone.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Monica.
Hi, Monica. You couldn't feel Rudy?
No, I couldn't feel him.
This was the first time you guys had sex together?
Oh no. Like
just we've been all of a sudden.
We've had sex together for 2 years, like.
And it's been going good, and all of a sudden tonight you couldn't feel anything.
Yeah, just tonight and. Last night was fine, and then tonight, nothing.
Weird.
I don't know what's going on.
Weird. That's a good one. It actually, I got to tell you, Monica, it makes me worry about all kinds of medical things, to tell you the truth. You're having numbness and tingling in your legs, anything like that?
No, nothing like that.
And like, was there anything unusual?
Nothing else is different. I mean, I was fully aroused. Everything was just normal, except I just couldn't feel him. Everything's fine. My like as far as medical goes, I just had an actual physical the other week.
Are you on birth control pills?
I'm using birth control, and I've used the method for 6-8 months. So
the method. What do you mean the method?
Oh, NuvaRing.
NuvaRing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if you had the new. I wonder if the NuvaRing is doing something funny, because that's it's a large dose of hormone. That's a ring that's impregnated with hormone, and you put in the vagina.
Right.
And it you take it out every 3 weeks, and it releases a large. In fact, there's concern that it might increase the risk of blood clot. Sometimes it's not a bad idea to take aspirin with that one.
Yeah, I'm actually going to stop birth control and just switch to condoms. But
were you lubricating excessively? Maybe.
No, everything was normal. I was fully aroused.
You know what? I turn over all the cards and I'm totally baffled. A very interesting problem, Monica. It makes me worry about spinal tumors and things like that. But those are, of course, remote possibilities that I have to think about.
Yeah, I there's like little sensation, but it's just, it's not anywhere. It's not even close like to normal sensation at all. It's
weird. I think you got to get back to the doctor that's prescribing the NuvaRing. I try to have sex again tomorrow night. See if this isn't something that just passes. I ask a crazy question. I got to ask her. You don't spin or ride bikes, anything like that, do you? I know.
No.
Okay, because that's the other thing. The pudendal nerve can get injured sometimes from sitting on a bike seat. But I don't know, Monica. Get checked out. It's a very unusual symptom, and I'm hoping it just kind of goes back to normal and something related to the NuvaRing. Fred Durst in here with us tonight. We got to take a break, and we will be right back.
Loveline will be right back.
Everybody, it's Loveline. Fred Durst in here with us tonight from Limp Bizkit. He is the head of Flawless Entertainment and has brought us such bands as She Wants Revenge, Puddle of Mud, and Ringside. And he's into Wife Swap.
I am. I'm a Wife Swap fan, fanatic. It's a ritual for me.
Now, listen, I was obsessing about Monica, who was our last caller. I was obsessing over the break. I didn't actually share this with you, but she had mentioned that she lost all sensation in her genitalia, basically. And I told her to see her doctor, and really, it may well be something related to that NuvaRing, but the fact is, that's a neurological symptom. And, you know, these things do happen. Neurological conditions happen to somebody. And whether it is multiple sclerosis, which can sometimes present like this, crazy thing called foie alajuanine, and I could see how that could be related to the NuvaRing. It's a little known disorder of in veins in the spinal cord, and something called Cotta Aquinas syndrome. I mean, these are all things that do happen, and she needs to get that evaluated if those symptoms do continue. So let's go right back to the callers. This is John. What's up, John?
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Yo, you're on with Fred Durst.
Long time listener, man. So I'm sad that you guys lost Adam, but you know, he's doing great, better things and stuff. But
we're still here.
I just got a question. Who cares? For you.
Anderson is bitter and angry tonight for some
no,
reason.
No, I'm not, Drew.
It sounds it.
Just every time anyone drops Adam's name, I got to play that.
I see. Okay, fair enough.
Hey, Fred, I'm a big fan of yours too, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, bro.
Yeah, for sure. Here's my question. So me and my girl were having sex last week, and the condom broke. She used the morning after pill. And this week we had sex again, and the condom broke. And I just wanted to know if she took the morning after pill of that consecutively, would it harm her? Or what?
No, she should definitely do it. The risks are clearly less than actually a pregnancy. Yeah. However, the fact that you're having this kind of trouble suggests that you ought to look into other kinds of birth control, such as she going on the pill regularly.
Yeah, she's gone the pill now, so she said it took like a month for it to kick in or something
that
like that.
That is true. Oh, so she is on the first packet now?
Yeah.
So when did she start that?
I'd say about 2 weeks ago.
Then I would just kind of let it go. Do you know which pill she's on?
I don't know.
Okay. This is kind of I really don't treat over the radio, so I want you not to take my advice. I want you to see a doctor about this, but I suspect you'll be okay just to finish out this packet and not take the morning after pill again. This is Maria. What's up, Maria?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's happening there?
I'm okay. I just had a question.
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering if all the master classes are just pointless.
If what?
If the master classes are pointless.
What are master classes?
You know, when you're in a master's degree program.
college, university.
Master, just
degree.
Master's degree program?
I'm confused. There are many different kinds of master's programs. What are you talking about?
In education right now. And all my classes seem pointless. They don't teach you anything. You just go there, grab a book, read, reflect on that book or chapter, whatever, and then just share what you learned.
Why don't you go to a different school then? Maybe you're not in a place that's challenging you properly.
Do you think that's what it is?
I had my ass kicked from morning to night, 24/7, for a good 12 years. There was never any sense that, hey, this is boring or pointless. I was too busy trying to survive the mountain of work that was being asked of me.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting challenged properly, I suggest go somewhere where they challenge you. Jennifer, what's up?
Hi, Dr. Drew. This is Jennifer from Sacramento. I was just calling to talk to Fred Durst and tell him how great he is. But I read your book, Cracked, and I love you. You're just great.
God bless you. Thank you.
And another thing is, Dr. Drew, I'm a recent child molester. I was molested when I was younger, and I'm going through some kind of relationship issues. I'm in a relationship with this guy that is really wonderful, but I'm not so attracted to him.
Uh-huh. That's actually good. That's a good thing, Jennifer.
It's a good thing. He's a really good guy. He has a good job. And he digs me, but I'm scared. I'm so scared to keep going through the relationship. I don't want to hurt him at all. But this I'm wondering if I keep on going through the relationship, will I become attracted to him more?
If you really open yourself to the relationship, you will. Have you had therapy?
I've been through some kind of therapy. Yeah, I have. I'm not going through any right now, but...
You may want to go back to it if you have difficulty sort of not containing impulsive sorts of attractions and things while you're in this relationship. Because the extent that you're able to open yourself to this and kind of be in a real relationship like this without the need of all the arousal and attractions and chaos you're used to, it's going to be hard for you. It's going to be painful. You're going to have an instinct to sabotage it. Your thinking is going to get kind of distorted in terms of how you think about this guy sometimes as a way of sort of distancing yourself or pulling away from it. It would be best if you had a therapist there sort of reflecting back to you what you were up to so you could see what was real and what was you trying to mess this relationship up. This is exactly what you need. Somebody you're not that attracted to, who's into you, who you like, who's a good person that you could grow to really have a close relationship with.
Okay, I'm going to keep going for it, and thank you so much, Dr.
Good luck.
Okay, bye-bye. Right,
take care, bye. Let's talk to Lydia. Lydia, you're on with Fred Durst. What's up, Lydia?
Hi, my name is Lydia, and I have a question regarding my sister.
Yeah?
She came to me today, and she noticed she has kind of like a lump in her breast.
How old is she?
She's 14.
Yep, those are common.
Oh, good. All right, because I don't know. I didn't have one like it, but I thought it was strange. And may I ask one more question?
Those are cysts, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. I heard that the thickening of the tissue can sometimes cause, you know.
It's fibrocystic. It's probably just plain old cysts. But go ahead. What's the question?
My question is, did Mr. Adam Carolla really leave LaFleur?
He really did. He's doing, he's doing Mr. Howard Stern's job in the morning now. Jimmy, what's up? You're on with Fred Durst.
Yeah, I have a question. I'm dating, she's not really a waitress. She's a hostess at Hooters.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was a booty call, and then it got more. She wanted to be more. But I met her at Hooters because I'm a Hooters regular. And
Bonesy.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, yeah. And I want to know why she wants me to stop going. Is she cheating on me?
Oh, she doesn't want you to go to Hooters anymore.
Yes, and yeah, she knows that I've been going to Hooters for the past 4 years.
And you can't figure out why she wouldn't want you to go anymore?
Yeah, I have no clue. She will not tell me why.
No clue. Fred, what do you think for Jimmy? No clue why his girlfriend does. Have you brought up the possibility of going to a strip bar, how she feels about that?
She don't mind. She does not mind at all.
No, no, no. Magically, she won't want you going there either.
Yeah.
Or she just doesn't want you to come to her work?
I guess, but it's not like I bother her while she's working, you know?
Does she feel like maybe you're there to kind of look over to see if she's flirting with anybody else or doing anything, that you wouldn't approve of?
Not at all.
So guys, she knows he met her at Hooters and as a booty call. And she's convinced if he goes to Hooters, he's going there for other booty calls. She's threatened and jealous of her of the other Hooters girls.
But while she's working there?
No matter what, he's not allowed to go there because she knows he goes there for booty calls.
Or for the chicken wings.
Yeah.
But I've been a regular, you know. She's one of
them. Yeah, well, too bad. You've got to been a regular, and now you've been marked. You've been tagged.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Jimmy? You don't know why she wouldn't want you to go there?
No.
Come on. How thick are you, buddy? Come on.
All right, man. I guess. Okay. I see where you're coming from, man.
All right. Be a little bit sensitive to what she experienced. Let's just put it, add the pieces together. You go there regularly. You find a girl for a booty call. She wants a real relationship and knows you go there for booty calls. She's not going to be interested in you going there and trying to maintain a relationship with her. Ben, what's up? You're on with Fred Durst.
Hey, I had a question for Fred about being a director. I got kind of like three little options here. If you had a choice between projects, and you can name films or anything here, but doing a translation of a foreign film as a Western film, like The Grudge or The Ring, would you like to do that? Or remaking an old film that you really, really liked from back in the day? Or remaking an old film that you really didn't like, but you thought had a good premise? You know, something that, you know, you think that you could make better. What would your picks be?
You know what? Out of those three choices, if I had to make a film, I would probably take a film that I did like from the past that the generation today or up-and-coming one probably missed or is going to miss or hasn't seen anything like it, you know, that had impact in the past. And
is there a pick? Do you have a film in mind?
I would actually, yeah, you know what? I would do A Star Is Born again.
Uh-huh.
I think that, you know, it's been done a couple times, and I really like Barbara Streisand and Chris Christopherson's version. And I think right now with music and American Idols and things being so relevant and substantial and people's, you know, outlook for where they're going, if they're into music, which music is a big part of today. I would redo that film, but I would probably redo a film that I really liked. I would redo Old God. You know, I think that would be a great one to redo. And
who would you have as God?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, the old George Burns.
Yeah. Yeah, I would probably. Oh, my God.
Isn't the trend to put. Who's the guy that was in the Jim Carrey film, the African-American guy? Morgan Freeman. Isn't he the today's God? Isn't he supposed to
be? Yeah, I guess Bruce Almighty kind of messed that one up. But, you know, I don't know. That would be my choice. I mean, if you wanted to take an old movie that you didn't like and make it relevant today, I would never do anything you didn't like ever. That'd be my suggestion.
Okay. Thanks.
There you go, Ben.
Bye.
All right, bye. This is Adam. What's up, Adam? 17. You're on with Fred Durst.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Big fan of both. And I just had a question on what's up with girls in high school and how, like, it's just so hard to start a relationship there.
Fred, what do you think? You didn't do so hot in high school, did you? Form a band, Adam. I think that's what Fred's advice would be.
I don't know. What do you think is the problem?
I don't know. It's just girls, they just have so much drama. And I just, you know, I'm just a simple guy. I'm just like, hey, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to, I'm not fat or anything. I mean, I'm pretty good looking. I'm on the swim team and all that. So it's just, I don't know what the hell's going on.
I kind of think it'll just happen, man. If you actually want it to happen, you got to think about it and put that vibe out there and, you know, maybe it'll happen. I'm not sure that every single girl's drama. There must be somebody in school that might be your speed or on speaking the same language as you. If not, then I would think that, you know, just give it some time, man. Don't rush it, because as long as you get to stay alive, you're going to have plenty of time to do that, I think.
Do you have one person in mind, Adam?
Right now, I just have, well, yeah, I've always had this one crush, and it's just like, you know, it's always gone to hell with it, you know?
It's just like, you need to get over that and just start hanging out with groups of people and open yourself to the possibility. You know, 7-year-old males, 15 to 14 to 17, men get these sort of fixations. They're just, boom, they're zero in on this one girl. And that poor girl never knows that he had this fixation. And it's all going on in his mind. It's an obsession. You're going to get over this one. And the best way to get over it is to start to meet and date other people.
Definitely.
And sort of hang out with people who hang out with girls you're kind of interested in. Maybe, you know, go out and do stuff with them. And magically, that one that you're sort of obsessing about will kind of pass.
Okay, cool. I have one more other question. Mm-hmm. Fred, what's it like in the Playboy Mansion, dude?
What's
it like in the Playboy Mansion?
Oh,
Oh, you know, it's visually stimulating. It's just not it's not what you think it would be. It's not all it's cracked up to be. It's pretty average, you know. I mean,
okay.
It's just a lot of whatever.
Right. I've been up there a bunch of times too. It's
not what you think.
It's a big house.
It's not what people make it out to be.
No. I've had lunch in that dining room, that little dining room there.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I think the best part about it is the sort of zoo in the backyard.
Oh yeah,
that's
kind of monkeys
and peacocks.
That's pretty amazing.
That's interesting. Okay, this is Casey. What's up?
Hi.
Hey, Casey. You're on with Fred Durst.
Oh, hi. I'm really sorry. I'm 31, but I don't really know who Fred Durst is.
Thank God.
How could that be?
I've
never heard of. Whoa! Hang on one second. You ever heard of Limp Bizkit?
Oh yeah.
All right, Fred Durst, lead singer for that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right.
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I've been trying for 11 months to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I went into the doctor to my gyno, and he prescribed me. First, he said I was too skinny to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read a couple things, and I guess you can't produce estrogen unless you have enough body fat. Is that true, Dr. Drew?
Yeah, absolutely, that's true.
Okay, because I read in the book that wasn't true. Okay, anyway. So he prescribed.
Look, if everyone, one of the more common features of anorexia is you don't menstruate, and your estrogen levels plummet, and you get softening of the bones, and you get ovarian failure. That's sort of a typical progression of anorexia. Are you anorectic?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
But I am very skinny.
Okay.
For my age and for my height, I'm 5'5", and I'm about 105.
Do you menstruate normally?
I menstruate normally, and all my discharge is what it should be. My temperature doesn't change. I have my basal body temperature, and that doesn't change.
So you're not ovulating.
So I'm not ovulating, right. And I told my gyno that I'm, from my books, they have all these books and everything. It says I'm not ovulating, but I don't know why. And he says, I don't have enough body fat to produce estrogen to release eggs.
I think that's probably right.
Okay. Well, my next question is that he prescribed me Clomid.
Uh-huh.
So when I went and I was doing some research on Clomid, most of the time they start you on day 5, but he had me start on day 3, and I'm not sure
Casey.
Why.
Hey, Casey.
Uh-huh.
You're not in a position. Reading about, people have great misconception about information that they read about and clinical experience that doctors gain by doing things for years and years and thousands of times.
Right.
When we're in the first 18 months of medical school, we read what you're reading. And then we spend the next 10 years deploying that and having experiences with that and gaining skill with it. So you now have the knowledge of somebody who's reading the first 18 months of medical school, the topic. He has dozens of years, thousands of cases behind him. Take his advice or listen to somebody else who does have that experience as well, who you can trust. Do not try to be your own doctor. And he, as the doctor with the thousands of cases of experience, would never treat himself or his wife. So you reading about this gives you a frame of reference so you can ask questions, you can understand, you can participate, but you're not to be making decisions about this. You discuss it with the doctor, you make an informed decision with him or her, and you follow their direction.
Right,
okay.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
And that was my plan. I was just curious.
No, you're second-guessing everything. You're going to decide on your own. Hmm?
Yeah, I think you're right.
And look, when I go to a doctor, let's say it's high blood pressure, something I've treated 10,000 times, I just listen to what he says and I do exactly what he tells me. I don't try to second-guess it. I don't use my opinion, my training, nothing. Huh. Okay. Because that's the worst medical care you can possibly get. Now, if somebody says something, doing something outrageous, that I'll say, well, that sounds outrageous to me. I might want to discuss it, or I might want to be informed about it before I did it. But then if I trust that person, I'm convinced that they're doing the right thing. You just listen to what they say and you do it. They're using their judgment that they've honed over thousands and thousands of cases, not just information that you glean offline. Okay?
Okay.
People have grave misconception about wisdom and information. They are very, very different things. Here is Andy. What's up, Andy?
Hey, I got a question for Fred. Well, actually, just a comment. I live up in Seattle, and last time Fred was here on the Summer Sanitarium tour with Metallica, I just want to say that, Fred, you just put on, like, the most amazing performance ever, because I remember before Limp Bizkit came out on the stage, and there was a whole lot of people that were trying to hate on Limp Bizkit, and I didn't even know what was going on. But I just want to say that, Fred, you just put on the best show I've ever seen in my life. And by the time Limp Bizkit left the stage, everybody was a Limp Bizkit fan again.
Well, thanks a lot, man. You know, sometimes you got to go out there and, you know, you got to do what you do regardless of what people are thinking.
Do you remember that show?
I do remember that
Seattle
show. It was really good. Mm-hmm. You know, but opening for Metallica, everybody there is just like, Metallica!
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty heavy, heavy crowd, you know?
Yeah, Metallica did awesome. But I thought you and Linkin Park both did really good jobs. And I didn't even understand why everybody was hating on Limp Bizkit at the time. I mean, I've been a big Limp Bizkit fan ever since the beginning, and I just thought your guys' music has always been... It's been just awesome rock music, so I didn't understand it. But you're great.
Some things we just don't understand. We just got to keep going. I really appreciate it, though, man.
Mallory 17, what's up, Mallory? Mallory? Okay. Sage?
Yeah?
What's up? You're on with Fred Durst.
Hi. Just want to say you're awesome and everything, but that's not why I called. My issue is that I have a friend that I'm really getting close to him and everything, and I really want to be with him, but I'm a virgin and I've never had sex, and I'm like freaking because I'm thinking I should get like more experience or something.
What do you mean?
I'm like worried that he'll eventually just be like, okay, whatever, not good enough later. So,
what an awful feeling.
Yeah.
Why do you have such low self-esteem?
A lot of issues.
Like what?
Growing up, I was abused by both parents periodically, and just, I'm a bit overweight, too, so.
Okay, well, you know, you gaining experience, so to speak, is not going to overcome those feelings of low self-esteem, right?
Yeah.
So this is more about how you feel about yourself and less about the reality of your experience. By the way, how old is he?
22.
He is going to be thinking, oh, my God, it's the greatest thing ever. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, I can't believe she's having sex with me. That's all he's going to be thinking no matter what you do. You can't do anything but completely spin his top. Wouldn't you agree, Fred? He's with you because he wants to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he's looking for someone that has a little bit more experience, you know. If you're worried about him not liking you because you don't, that's a big sign.
Everything and up front, so he knows and... Yeah,
he knows you're a virgin. If he's half a human being, he's going to be kind and going to be okay with whatever, however you are. And by the way, be over the top of the fact that you're having sex with him because he's a 22-year-old guy.
Mm.
Okay, so don't worry about him. Worry about you and your feelings about yourself and how to make this an enjoyable experience for you.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd agree with that.
Women, they just sacrifice themselves. It's just incredible. This is Raziel.
Yeah.
Hi, what's up? You're on Fred Durst.
Hi. Hello?
Yep.
Hi, yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, my story is that this guy that I met, and, like, he became my boyfriend, and I just completely, like, gave up so much for this boy because I felt, like, this deep love for him, and I ended up getting kicked out of my house. Like, mm-hmm. Literally, like, I came home one day, and my bed, all my belongings were in trash bags, and I had to get them out of the trash can because my parents said, like, you know, you want him, then go ahead, go live outside with him. And, like, only a couple of weeks later, he, like, dumped me because I wasn't good enough for him.
What's up with this guy? Why did your parents hate him so much?
Well, my parents never really got a chance to meet him. But I would always just leave the house. Like, I was always, like, the good girl. And I would just go to, like, his house, and I would just stay there for, like, days, and I wouldn't come home. And then my parents just said, you know what? You want the outside life? Then go live it. And then only to, like, have that shame that kicked out of my house, and then I lost all of that. And I still feel this, like, love for him. Like, why... Like, all these other guys, like, want to go out with me and stuff, but I'm still, like, so dumb or something. Like, I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. Like, should I fight for him, or should I...
No.
No?
Mm-mm. Fred?
Absolutely not. I mean, this is a gigantic red flag.
Because, I mean, like, I mean, even though, like, I got to share so many special, like, moments with this guy, I mean, I even went to court with him the day that they took him off probation.
Oh, well, of course. Well, my goodness. Who wouldn't fall in love with the man that has a legal action against him? He's a drug addict. I can just feel it. Or an alcoholic or something.
No. Like, this happened, like, he's been, look, like, locked up since he was, like, 14.
Oh, well, what's not to love about this guy? How could you? Your parents should have been overjoyed. You had a criminal and an addict. It's fantastic.
Somebody's got to love him.
But,
it's true. I just feel drug addict here, Rosie. Is he marijuana every day or speed? What is it?
Weed.
Weed, okay. I just feel addict. This thing just has smacks of addict all over it.
And then, like, but he made me feel so special, though, like.
Yes, we call that sociopathy, where people manipulate people into feeling that this is a world's only relationship. This is the greatest thing ever. You're the most amazing person. That's all BS, so they can wrap you up, manipulate you, and do with you as they please. And as you found, throw you out with the trash.
Yeah, like, some days, like, I just get all, like sad and depressed because I'm like, what the
is, you
me?
Must have had abusive parents to sort of go for a guy like this. And now you're sort of acting out finally, and you know, maybe them kicking you out's not such a bad thing. Maybe you have to go out there and fight on your own for a change. But to go after guys like this is going to be your ruin. Do not forget my words.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a bad thing for you, really bad. If you find another one of these, which you're going to be attracted to, I guarantee it, this is the kind of guy you're attracted to.
Yeah.
Bad thing, bad time for you.
Yeah.
Fred, you agree?
I mean, this sounds like, you know, she's just got herself in too deep with a guy who's very unpredictable, and he's on kind of his own path and figuring himself out, and I don't think before he figures himself out, he's got time to make you happy. He's got to figure out how to make himself happy, and you should not get caught up in that. Don't let your feelings get carried away.
Because, I mean, I went to school, like, I was never exposed to, like, this whole party life thing, and, like, I completely just went wild the year 2005 and just ruined my life.
Are you an addict too?
No, I'm not an addict.
What do you mean you went wild then?
Like, I went wild. Like, you know, alcohol.
Guys. Like what?
Sleeping with people and stuff like that. It was just something new that had never been exposed to me.
Yeah. This is some sort of acting out, Raziel. This is not something new that you're just enjoying for the time being. You're on a path, and it's a destructive path.
But
you really ought to think about getting some help with this. This is not a good situation.
All right. Well, thank you.
Rosila, there's no kidding.
Uh-huh.
This isn't just sort of a casual recommendation. Yeah, you might think about it. I'm seeing the future, and it's not pretty.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
I know I'm right.
I wouldn't have called.
All right. Take care of yourself, right?
All right.
You're absolutely right about the guys, though. The problem with the guy who's figuring himself out is if he gets hooked up with a girl like Rosiel, they stick both of them in this suspended animation state of problem.
Well, she's always going to be there for him, no matter what he does.
And so that'll keep him doing whatever he has to do, whatever he wants to do. Well, on the other hand, if he's out there, you're absolutely right. I really haven't given this enough thought or enough credit to guys. That if he's out there just doing his own thing and doesn't get stuck in a relationship that locks him into that same mode, he could work this all through someday. But it's just not a good time. Do not get attached to that guy now.
Yeah.
He's bad for both of you. Fred Durst in with us tonight. Limp Bizkit, of course. We'll maybe hear another song maybe by Limp Bizkit.
I doubt it.
Oh, really? All right. We'll keep taking calls then. 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to take a little break and be right back.
If you need help, hang up and then dial.
Love line. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
That's right, Loveline. Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit. We are going to hear another Limp Bizkit song, apparently.
Oh, Dr. Drew.
Aren't we?
Yes, we are, actually.
Anne is smiling and shaking her head, nodding her head. Yeah, should we do it now?
We're not sure what song
it is. Okay, so let's take a couple calls, and then you guys figure out what song it's going to be. No, Fred, don't go away.
I'm not.
Mallory, 17. I thought you were going to go over there and look at songs with Anne. What's up, Mallory? You're on with Fred Durst.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Hey, Mallory.
I've been with this guy for a year and a half, and we've been having sex, and it hasn't been as hot as it's normally been. And me and him both kind of were talking about how we looked at other people and stuff, and he wants to be with other people, and he's sick of limitations. Right?
What? What about it?
And he's sick of limitations, and he wants to caress other girls and be with them, right?
That's called I Want to Break Up, Mallory.
Yeah, but he told me he's still in love. He wants to see me, and
yeah, that's a 17-year-old or a 19-year-old or whatever who doesn't know how to break up, or doesn't understand that that's what he's thinking and feeling. And one of the great tasks of being your age is learning how to end a relationship. And when somebody says to you, "I love you, but," just go, no, stop. Okay, we're done. That's it.
So that's what he's saying.
Yeah, really. And you're saying the same thing, too.
Well, I mean, like, he's obsessive, though. Like, if, like, we tried not seeing each other for a week, and I was with some guy, and he told that guy, he threatened that guy, he'd beat his ass if he saw me again with him.
What do you think, Fred?
I think the guy doesn't truly know what he wants.
Right.
You know, I think that's kind of what it is. And if he does give you those signs, you start looking at other people. If you can do that, I think he's weighing out his options, and somebody doesn't want to hurt somebody's feelings sometimes, but then when somebody's alone or not getting what they want, then they come back to you and they have insecurities and they're jealous of you.
See, his whole, in his mind, Mallory, he's going to break up and he's going to have lots of girls he's going to go out with, when in fact, you're the one that's going to have opportunities immediately, and that's going to freak him out.
Exactly.
And he has to decide what he's going to do, but the reality here is, and I think I'm speaking for you, too, which is you've said the same thing, which is this isn't as exciting as it used to be. And this is a kind of a thing that at 28, you would have ended 19 months ago, or at least 15 months ago, because it just wasn't really going anywhere. And you sort of you love each other, but kind of love each other like brother and sister. And we can't not be together all this time we've spent, and couldn't imagine being without him. You can be without him. That's what's supposed to happen with relationships at this age. They're supposed to break up.
That's cool.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Good luck there.
Right.
Oh, boy. My goodness. Let's talk to Anthony. What's up there, Anthony? You're on Fred Durst.
Hey, what's up, Fred? Dr. Drew, how are you doing today?
We're good, Anthony.
Well, my problem is I need porn to get aroused to have sex with my wife. And we've been married for about 17 months.
Anthony.
Yeah.
Are you an air traffic controller?
No.
Okay. You sound awful
familiar. Power lineman.
All right. Go ahead. Anderson, do you have the air traffic controller from Alaska anywhere?
It's just all in my head, Drew.
Doesn't he sound like this?
He does, but I think it's an Alaskan thing.
All right. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, our sex life's been great, you know, when we first met. And now I need porn to get aroused before I have sex with my wife. And we've been married for 17 months, and our marriage is falling apart, and I want to save the marriage. I love her. But I've tried and tried to give it up, and I don't know what to do.
Fred?
Oh, man, that's heavy duty. Drew?
Why is it breaking up your marriage?
I have to watch porn before I have sex with her to get aroused, to get, you know, to get hard, to have sex with her. And she feels that's more important than her, you know. And that
I
really
being
don't
faithful
love her.
To her, and this is just something that you need to want to have sex with your wife?
I'm sorry, what?
This is something that you need to want to have sex with your wife because you are being faithful? And
yes.
Yeah.
Well, Anthony, let me just say, this sounds bogus. I don't feel it. So, by the international law, is this bogus?
No, sir.
All right. Well, why don't you try, there are other ways to help you sort of gain arousal if it's really truly ruining your marriage, such as the nitric oxide pathway drugs like Viagra, Levitra, that sort of thing. Have you ever thought about doing that?
I'm only 23.
I understand,
really,
but I'm just saying, you're saying this is breaking up a marriage.
Yes.
And you can't get aroused. This is bogus, I guarantee you.
Do you have children?
Because, Anthony, anybody who's not calling on a bogus whim would be desperate for help, because the marriage, if indeed is breaking up as you claim, you'd be doing whatever you could to try to salvage this thing.
Yeah, I've tried to do counseling, but, you know, that comes up all the time. You know,
what happened in counseling? What happened in counseling? What kind of counselor did you see?
Marriage counselor.
What was the degree of the counselor?
The counselor said try to do other things to make your wife happy.
What kind of degree did the counselor have?
I'm not sure.
Sure, he's lying and he's stupid.
I know. How many times did you see this counselor?
Over a period of 3 months.
And what was the goal of therapy?
The goal of therapy was to get off of porn and arouse your wife in other ways.
No, there's not a therapist on earth that would ever, ever have that, the goal of therapy.
Well, the problem is for him to get aroused.
No, that's not what would happen in therapy at all. So, what, Anthony, come on. Give.
Come on what?
That's not what happens. That's what therapists do. That's not what happens in therapy.
Come on your wife while not watching porn.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh?
Oh, forget it. Look, Anthony, go back to the therapist. Keep going with the work. If that's indeed what is the case, I guarantee this was a bogus call. If indeed you're losing your marriage because of your inability to get arousal, it seems reasonable to use a safe medication to get over that in the moment. It seems a reasonable thing if really a marriage is being sacrificed because of your difficulty getting arousal without using some external means like pornography. The reality is also, by the way, in therapy, there'd be much more work done on you and this relationship and very little done on this business about the pornography and to find ways for you guys to compromise and to build and to fight fair with each other so that you get to the point where you can compromise and find something that does work for both of you. Let's listen to a Limp Bizkit song. How about that? And producer Ann seems very interested in a Limp Bizkit song.
Well, I said that they have to choose their own.
They chose Rollin'.
Wow.
Want to intro that one?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
All right, here we go. All right there, Loveline listeners. We're going to go on to another fun, exciting journey into musical history here today with Limp Bizkit. This song's called Rollin'.
Rolling, rolling. Hey ladies, hey fellas, hey the people, get rolling, rolling, keep rolling, 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 rolling.
That is Limp Bizkit rolling. Fred Durst in here with us tonight. Give us a call at 1-800-LOVE-191. Fred and I are going to take a little break, and we will be right back.
Loveline.
Loveline will be right back.
Loveline, Fred Durst, 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get right back to the calls. This is Emily. Emily, what's going on?
Hi, I'm 23. My boyfriend is 36.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been dating off and on for over 2 years.
So you started when you were 21 and he was 34?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's been married twice before, so he has some commitment issues.
Yeah.
And I really want to settle down with him. I love him very much, and I want to spend the rest of my life with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I have everyone telling me that it's not going to work out because of the age difference and because of his commitment issues and so
what do you think,
on
Fred?
And so forth.
I think your friends are exactly right. That's what I feel. I think you should take their advice on this one. I mean, what do you think, Joe?
No, I agree that history tends to repeat itself. And unless he's had some treatment or something to sort through whatever has been the issue that has caused him to have difficulty maintaining relationships, he will do that again.
Well,
or at least make you wish that he would do that again. In other words, this could be a pretty bad ride for you.
Well, his first marriage, his wife cheated on him. So
I'm just saying, it's always the woman's fault, Emily. I know that bitch. If she had just treated him right, if she had just been the right kind of woman, it would have worked out. But you know what? The only variable that hasn't changed in these failed relationships is him.
Mm. He's right, you know. I feel that because I think I have, you know, some of those problems. I'm around the same age. And I think I would just pack up and run for the hills.
So, Emily, you're hearing from the horse's mouth, so to speak. You're talking to your boyfriend in another form here.
Oh, good.
And he's saying, don't trust me.
Huh.
And we'll talk to you about it. What do you think that is? If this were, let's just for the sake of argument, say he's got whatever's going on with you. What makes it hard to maintain a relationship? For you.
For him?
No, we're pretending Fred is him.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, you know, I actually sometimes definitely blame it on damage from the past.
Yeah.
You know, being victim in my own circumstances. And there's been times where I haven't been the victim, but they all seem to build up. And
do you think that these women have played a role in the failures?
I do believe that, yes.
Do you think that now you're older, that maybe Emily is a better choice for you, that you've sort of worked things through and therefore possibly things could work with Emily where they didn't work with the previous women, those bitches?
Well, you know, I lived a very significant life. I've been overexposed to situations and circumstances. And I do believe that, you know, that I've evolved and I've decided to just pull myself out of that. And
so if you were advising Emily about you, Fred, you tell her, run for the hills.
I would say I would say not particularly to me right now, but I do know the feeling. Know that guy.
And so, Emily, here's a guy that's evolved, meaning Fred, through these sorts of experiences, and himself says, I shouldn't be in these things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we don't know that your boyfriend has even evolved. He may still be stuck in the same mud that he was in with the other relationships.
So you're saying there's no hope for him whatsoever?
No, I'm not saying that because we don't know him. We're just sort of goofing and exploring this a little bit. But it is suspicious. It is concerning.
Right, and time will tell, actually. You know what? Just take your time. And
yeah,
just,
you're 23. Yeah. Why rush it?
You just ride it out. You know,
give it a couple more years. Maybe it does work out.
Suspicious.
Yeah. All right, Emily?
Okay, thank you.
Emily from Seattle. Good luck. A lot of calls from Seattle. Is the Seattle a big town for you?
Seattle was a great place for me, and plus Kurt Cobain's from Seattle. I like that.
Jacob, what's up there?
Hey, what's up?
You're on with Fred Durst.
Hey, Fred, you or some of your bandmates went to high school with Greg McDonald, right?
Actually, that sounds very familiar, yes.
Oh.
He was a roadie for you guys. He filmed your first shows.
Now, this is wonderful.
You know, I actually don't know if that's true or not. I'm not sure. What you want to ask me?
Well, no, because I know him, and he said he knows you guys, and, you know, that's cool. But I was actually calling. I remember, you know, Drew, I listened to you guys back when I was in junior high several years ago with Adam.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say Anderson is a god. I remember when everyone was calling.
Who cares?
He is a god.
Because I remember everyone said that about Adam. I wanted to say that to Anderson. But, no, Fred, I was going to say, Chocolate Starfish, you know, that album's good, and I still listen to it, and I just wanted to see, you know, if you were familiar with Greg.
And yeah, you know what? It sounds familiar to me.
Oh, boy.
But I don't actually recall a Greg McDonald, but I know he's out there somewhere.
This now, Alyssa.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
My thing is, I was diagnosed bipolar in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've been on all kinds of medications, everything you could possibly think of. At one point, I was on 7 or 8 different psych meds, and I would take like 12, 13 pills at night just to sleep. And my doctor was prescribing this. And since then, I've kind of adjusted my medications on my own because I've realized she was totally, you know, over-medicating me. And now I'm only on 2, and I seem to be doing fairly well, better than I have in years.
Oh, good.
But still, the one thing that's, like, keeping me down is I'm, like, pining over my ex for the last 3 years. Yes. You know, and I just don't, for some reason, I don't think it's normal.
No, that would be not normal.
So does that have anything to do with my illness, or?
It certainly could, but there's much more going on, Alyssa, I suspect, than just bipolarity.
Well,
so,
obsessive compulsive.
And some personality stuff. You have a trauma history?
Yeah.
Yeah. So trauma survivor, personality issues, long-standing difficulty functioning, bipolar disorder. This is all stuff that needs treatment. Not necessarily medication. I'm not saying medication necessarily, but some sort of ongoing management where you're moving things forward a little bit.
Where I'm living, like, we don't really have too good of funding.
Uh-huh.
For mental illness. So, like, even if I get in to see a therapist, which is very rare, because they're always in and out of there, the place that I go to is very unprofessional.
Do you ever do much drugs and alcohol?
I did when I was younger, but not, like, really hardcore. It's mainly been pot.
Maybe a 12-step program or something that's free. And, again, you know, so much of mental health is about the matrix, about the interpersonal context. And if you can get people to engage you, or if you can get engaged in some sort of a 12-step process, sometimes that can go a long way in helping you. There's actually EA, believe it or not, Emotions Anonymous, for people like Alyssa, even if she wasn't an addict per se, and that could be helpful, and it's free. So why not try to take advantage of that? Fred Durst with me. We got to take a break. Be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
That does it for another episode of Loveline. Fred, thank you so much for joining us. Again, very fast and interesting show, right?
I actually enjoyed it.
I can tell when it's good. It goes fast. Stay tuned till tomorrow night. Dr. Drew and Fred will be back. And then the next night, we're going to have lead singer from Ringside in here with Fred.
Absolutely.
He's going to perform for us. It's going to be very interesting.
It'll be very good.
So until that time, this is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
I think you're in love with Fred Durst, right?
I am, like, I'm in love with him. If I were gay, I swear to God.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.